Hi, I'm Gina Jordan, a host at WFSU Public Media. Today, we're speaking of community theater in Tallahassee and the pending departure of a prolific director. That gives me goosies. Those are snippets from some of the Broadway productions that Naomi Rose Mock has directed in Tallahassee. She has made a name for herself as a coveted theater director. Then last month, she made a shocking announcement on social media. She's moving back to her home in England in late December. 18-year-old Ella Lehman was a little kid when she started doing shows, about 30 of them now with Naomi.
If someone's upset with rehearsal, she's able to like pinpoint that and like ask them, are you okay? Do you need anything? And I don't know, with her and her husband, Mike Mock, it's like, it's weird just knowing someone else is going to live at that house. Just all these different things. Because I've been doing shows with her since I was 6, and all my family did shows with her, and like I've worked with her for all these years. So she is definitely part of my family and a lot of people's families too. She's, again, not just a director, she becomes family with everyone, which is really nice.
We're about to hear from Naomi, but first we're going to listen to this story from July of 2020, when much of the world was in lockdown. For Naomi, the show must go on, and she created a unique way to make it happen. With community theaters closed and actors and stage crews sidelined, a local director has come up with a project to keep the creative juices flowing. Theatergoers from Thomasville to Quincy have likely seen at least one of Naomi Rose Mock's productions.
Each show is sort of like its own little dysfunctional family.
She often directs, sometimes performs, and handles a variety of duties behind the scenes. She averages 6 to 10 productions a year, and this unanticipated hiatus caused by the pandemic didn't sit well.
Oh my gosh. Well, you know, it's funny, isn't it? Because like at the beginning of this year, I was like, wow, I am really tired. I really want a break. And then this has certainly been a break. It's been tough. It's been tough, I think, because theater people, the theater is what we do. And it's also where we tend to find our circle of people. Most of my friends certainly are in the theater community. So it was hard to sort of get that entire part of yourself cut off.
Knowing it's hard for performers to stay out of the spotlight, Rose Mock hatched an idea perfect for these socially distant times.
School's out! Story time!
With the success of her podcast for children this spring called School's Out Story Time, and interest from actors wanting to participate, that got her thinking about doing a murder mystery.
So I decided I was actually going to form a company, and I would hold formal auditions, obviously virtual auditions. And I was amazed. I had like 130 something people audition. So I decided, because we had so many people audition, I'm actually right now doing 4 different stories. Each one has 4 episodes. Plus we have one youth company story that's going to be coming out around Halloween.
Hello, Bella, old thing.
Oh, hello, Samuel, dear. I'm so pleased to see you. I heard you graduated with an honors first. Always knew you were a brain.
The rehearsal and recording process involves the Zoom video conferencing platform. The actors read together remotely and notes are given. The actors record their own lines, and then they're all mixed together with music and sound effects.
The children!
My host and the entire party dash from the room and down the hall towards the sounds of struggle and a girl's screams.
The first story is called An Engagement with Murder.
Darling, stop it! Just stop it!
Set in England in the 1920s, Rose Mock likens it to an Agatha Christie detective novel. The next story will be set in Mississippi in the 1980s with a different cast. Most of the actors have ties to Tallahassee.
We have a lot of local people. We have a lot of people that used to be local to Tallahassee that have moved on. So we have people from as far away as Panama to New York to North Carolina. So a lot of it is sort of local theater alums who have moved on to various different things, as well as people that are still here in town.
If you detect a slight accent, Rose Mock is from the UK. She moved to Florida when she was 12 and has lived in Tallahassee for almost 25 years. She's eager for the return of community theater. Until then, she's engrossed in producing what she calls audio plays delivered in episodic form, like a classic mystery.
It's just been such a great thing to get to do, to get to work with all these actors and to give us all that creative outlet during this time. And I think everyone can use a little escapism right now from the news being so stressful all the time. So I think it's just kind of a fun thing to listen to.
New episodes are released on Mondays. We have information about how to find the Murder in Your Ear podcast at WFSU.org. Naomi Rose Mock, welcome.
Thank you for having me, Gina.
You've literally worked with people from all over the world.
I have, yeah.
It's been amazing.
Crazy times, yeah.
Yeah.
It's been fun.
You're about to make a significant life change.
Huge, yes. About to move back to the UK where haven't lived since I was 12. So it's going to be a big, big change. So very excited, but also very scared. So.
Yeah. Well, that's huge. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's an understatement to say that you will be missed.
Oh, thank you.
So you've been in Tallahassee for almost 30 years?
Mm-hmm. Since 1995. Long time.
Okay.
And
so when did you really start directing?
I did some directing when I was in high school and that kind of stuff. The first time I solo directed was when I was 26, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And I did a musical, Calamity Jane, which was one of my favorite movies growing up. And directing was the first time. I'd always sort of been a jack of all trades. And directing was the first time that I felt like, wow, this is it. This is what I love to do. And it was the first thing I'd ever done that I liked more than acting. So that was a big deal for me.
Interesting, yeah. Can you recall how many shows you've directed since you've been here?
I actually just had to update my artistic resume for the first time in a really long time, and it's 116, I think, total.
So give us a ballpark year when that started.
2006, I think.
Okay, so that is a massive amount of shows.
Yeah.
Well, I've been talking to folks about you. I spoke with John Campana. He says he has worked with you maybe a dozen times, and he's a big fan.
Oh, I love him, too.
She is definitely a force in this community, is not just a director, but as an educator, and people know her. And when people find out that she's involved in a production, they go to auditions. You know, she has that draw. It's going to be a huge hole. Huge void when she leaves, and we're not sure who's going to fill it. And we're all just kind of like, we're kind of in shell shock now thinking, oh, what, you know, who's going to fill that void, you know?
Oh, sad. I know. Don't we need a box of Kleenex?
I know.
John said that you have also directed him with his wife and daughter twice. So
yes.
They've been in shows together, and he says that you like to cast families, which I've noticed when I've looked at playbills and give them that opportunity. That's pretty cool.
I think theater is such a communal event. So I think one of the unique things about community theater versus educational theater is that we do get that wide age range. And so you get to work with people that you maybe otherwise wouldn't get to interact with. And you also have the opportunity that if you have, you know, fathers and mothers that do theater, they can also work with their children. We've had grandparents work with their grandchildren, which is an amazing learning opportunity and really cool. That cross-generational learning is, you know, they're doing more and more studies on it, but there's so much we can learn from people that have different life experiences to us.
Yeah. I know a lot of people turn out for your auditions, and it's got to be hard. Like, so many people know you. You've worked with so many people. How do you say no to someone?
It's the worst. Casting is the absolute worst. Anyone that's ever worked with me on production teams know that I hate auditions and I hate casting. I love everything else about the process, but I hate casting because everyone has obviously worked really hard and they really have a lot of emotional investment in wanting to be involved with the show. And actors also tend to be very hard on themselves. And so if they don't get something they want, they say, oh, I suck, I'm bad. And it's never that. It's always, you've got to look, it's like a giant puzzle that you're putting together, what fits together. Yeah. But casting is, it's the worst part. People think it would be fun. I was like, and it's not when it's with people that you love and care about and work with all the time. It's tough.
Yeah.
The hardest part.
Right. At the beginning, we had a montage of music that was from Les Mis, mm-hmm. The Producers, and Phantom of the Opera. So you've directed those productions locally.
Yes.
So let's go through the list. You've directed at Theater Tallahassee.
Yes.
Quincy Music Theater.
Yes.
You've done those big district summer shows at Leon High School.
Yep.
You've directed at Lincoln High School, mm-hmm. Faith Presbyterian Church, venues in Thomasville up the road.
Mm-hmm.
Did I get everything?
And Monticello.
And Monticello.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my goodness. You're sought after from all over the region. Well, is it fair to say that you do this for love, say, more than money?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's definitely a love project. I always end up putting my own money into shows, and it would probably be really depressing to figure out how much I get paid per hour for each show, so we won't talk about that. But the things that I get back are so intangibly wonderful. It's the most rewarding thing I've ever done. Each show is its own little creation, which is amazing. You get to create this world, and I talk about this all the time, but theater is so ephemeral, and you create this world, and it didn't exist before you created it, and at the end you get to, like, strike it, and some new world gets built there. That to me is the most amazing thing, and you get to work with so many different people, so many different personalities, and that is the biggest challenge, but also the biggest gift. I absolutely love it.
Yeah, I've done theater too, and it's, to me, it's just like, if it's a really wonderful show or character, it's really hard to say goodbye to that character.
Yeah, and some shows, gosh, some shows you realize when you're doing them that this is a really special one. And especially when you're like me and you do it for a living and you're doing shows constantly, as much as I love each experience for what it is, there are just some that you know, like, this is a one in, you know, once in a 10-year show.
Yeah.
And those are always, it's hard because it will never exist again. Doesn't matter what you do. You can do the show again, but that experience will never exist again.
Yeah, it's true. I've talked to several people who have worked with you, and they all really seem to think that you make things extra special.
That's nice.
Yeah. You've really created this circle of performers in town. They want to be in your shows. They call you friend. And I talked to one who teared up. So this one might be rough for you.
Okay.
Ashley Littlefield is frequently on stage. She thinks she's been involved in close to 50 shows with you in some capacity, on stage or off. And so I asked her how she found out you were leaving.
Oh, gosh.
So I know that Naomi had mentioned, and I'm going to try not to cry, that she was wanting to go back to the UK because her parents are there. They're getting older. It was one day after rehearsal, I was hanging out with her, and I was like, ooh, I'm hungry. Do you have anything to eat? So I was sitting in her kitchen. She'd heated some butter beans up for me. So I was just eating those, and she's like, I have something to tell you. And then she starts sobbing. I was like, oh no, like, what's going on? And she said that she was moving, and I just started sobbing into my butter beans. She's been in Tallahassee for so long and has touched so many people's lives, and excuse me, she's a very special person to many people. So.
Aw.
Oh, yes. I love Ashley.
Yeah. Yeah, she's very talented. And she got very emotional talking about you. And also, several people mentioned your husband, Mike Mock.
Yes.
He will be moving with you as well, just not right away.
Correct? Right. He'll be back for another. They get to keep him for another year. And Mike does. Mike probably works with even more companies than I do on a regular basis. Like, he has worked with, if you can think of an organization that does theater in this town, he has worked with them, along with, like, everywhere in the region he's worked with them doing things. So he is even more prolific than me as far as the amount of people he's worked with.
Well, he's big on set design, right?
Set design. He does pretty much all things technical, but set design and sound design is kind of what he does the most. But he can pretty much do anything technical-wise. He's kind of your guy.
Well, that in itself will be a huge loss, because that is hard to find.
Very hard to find.
Yeah. Yeah.
Especially since the pandemic, we have a lot less, a lot of people change careers during the pandemic. So we've seen a depletion in the amount of people that are skilled in those areas.
Yeah. Well, I have one more fan of yours weighing in.
Oh, gosh.
Dakota Miller thinks that he's done about 3 dozen shows with you, either as a cast member or a crew member.
I'd say at least, yeah.
He is very appreciative of being in that circle that you've created in the local theater community.
There's nothing like hanging out with Naomi and the Naomi crew. So it is going to be wild to not have that glue keeping everyone together anymore, because everyone's lives are so crazy. This really is the only thing we can like get out of work to do. So it is going to be tough to find another source for that outlet that's going to be as warm and welcoming as this one has been.
Aw. Yeah, he's been doing stuff with me since he was a freshman in high school. So it's another one of my kids.
Yeah. Well, the show must go on, right?
That's what they say, yeah.
Yeah. So do you have any wisdom or advice for folks in the theater community as they press on without you?
I think in a way, because I've been so prolific, maybe this will open an opportunity for some new people to step into that role and have more opportunity to do things. Theater, what has always been great about the community in Tallahassee is that we are very collaborative, and I've always thought that was wonderful. I would love to see that collaboration continue to grow, because I think especially COVID sort of set everyone back a little bit with our interpersonal skills, I think, just in general as a human race. But I would love to see those bridges being continue to build and expanded. And I think that's how we continue to create great art.
Yeah. One of the ways people and groups are helping each other now has to do with funding, because
yes,
we just lost all that arts funding. With the governor's veto pen.
Right.
So I guess now more than ever, why do you think we need performing arts?
Oh, my gosh. I mean, the arts has always been such an enormous part of my life. But I think that with the mental health crisis we have with young people, I think the arts provides an avenue of expression that is not found anywhere else. I think I mentioned it earlier, but the collaborative nature of the performing arts is essential. Much like sports teams offer the same thing, but not all kids want to do sports, and the same thing, not all kids want to do arts, but it's that collaborative nature. Theater in general is a project management issue, which people would sort of shake their heads at me about, but it is, everything is on a deliverable deadline, and everything relies on this department working with this department, working with this department. And I think that learning how all those different pieces work together is essential for growth as a human. And I think that if you talk to a vast variety of people that have done theater, they would tell you how much it's benefited them as far as building their confidence, building their empathy, and building their ability to think across various different projects and puzzles. I don't think there's anything else that fills that emotional void like the arts do. Even if people don't enjoy performing, you watch television, you watch movies, you go see theater. There's nothing like it. It's what we can all sit there and find something relatable, whether we're on stage or off. And that relatability, I think, is needed now more than it's ever been. I think we're so at odds with each other. And I think the arts is a place that we all come together and find understanding.
Yeah. I think it's really special to be part of a cast and a crew.
I do too.
Starting from scratch, putting something together, working together as a team. And
yep.
And then you're throwing something out there and someone has your back and they're throwing something out there. It really is a great way to just work with people and make friends.
Yeah. I agree.
Yeah. Well, the good news is you have 3 productions on your schedule before you leave us.
I do.
So your first one up is Parade, which opens tonight.
Yes.
And that's at Faith Presbyterian Church.
Yes.
And that is not a comedy, but it is a musical.
It's definitely not a comedy. It's based on the case of Leo Frank, it's a landmark case. It was a Jewish man who was accused of murdering a young girl in Marietta in 1913. It's stunning music. It's tough subject matter, but it's wonderful. It's just amazing. And this is one of the most talented casts I've ever worked with. They're phenomenal. And this show in that immersive setting will be something that you won't experience again.
Great. And then next up, you have Cabaret.
Cabaret, which I will be performing at Young Actors Theater. And ticket sales will go to benefit Young Actors Theater to help defray the loss that they've experienced from the arts cuts that we just talked about, too. So
yeah,
It'll be not produced by them, but performed at Young Actors Theater.
Nice. Okay. And then finally, A Christmas Carol.
Christmas Carol. And this is Christmas Carol, a festival of holiday music that I adapted first in 2013, and we've been performing around the region since 2013. We've been at Faith in the Round since 2017. So it'll be a nice way to round it out.
And then am I correct in saying that the day after Christmas Carol closes?
That's when I leave.
You leave.
Yeah, I'm a crazy person.
What were you thinking? Seriously.
Yeah, I'm insane. I'm one of those people, though, that I've always loved to stay busy, as you can tell from the amount of shows I've done. So I think that staying busy will stop me getting even more anxious and sad. So I'll just save that anxious and sadness to the very end.
I can imagine the tears are going to happen.
It's already been hard.
Yeah. So for folks who will miss you, they can still hear you. You have a pretty cool gig with your voice. Let's talk about that really quick.
Sure. Yeah. During the pandemic, in addition to doing Murder in Your Ear, I sort of fell into a career as an audiobook narrator. So I have narrated close to 400 books now on Audible, and I get to work across with authors from all over the world and publishers all over the world. My obsession with dialects and accents and my bi-dialectical, which is what it means to be able to speak like an American and a British person, has finally paid off for me. But that's actually my full-time career now. So I'll still be doing that when I'm in the UK.
That is super cool.
It's really fun.
You say you fell into it. Like, did someone know you? And
no, so it's all tied in. When I started doing the podcast, I was looking for ways on – I was joining groups on Facebook to talk about audio podcasts and just get some advice because I had not done anything like that before, obviously. And one of the women I was talking to was – talking to me about how she works for Audible, and she was like, you might want to look into that. And I was like, I've always loved reading, and again, I've worked as a dialect coach, so I've got a lot of accents under my belt. And so I literally just started going and looking around and ended up doing some auditions and booked a whole lot of auditions right off the bat and was like, okay, I guess I'm figuring this out. And the pandemic, because I wasn't directing and because I wasn't doing theater, I had a lot more time, so I was very lucky and fell into it, and I've really had a great time doing it.
That's fantastic.
Been very lucky. I've been very lucky across the board. I'm so grateful. I just want to say I'm so grateful to Tallahassee for everything it's given me and to all the people I've worked with over the years. Near and far, it's just been such a blessing for me, and I'm eternally grateful. So thank you to everybody.
Yeah. Well, thank you for all the entertainment. Break a leg on these final shows.
Thank you. Thank you.
Naomi Rosemach, we appreciate you, and it's been a great pleasure.
Thank you, Gina.